Welcome, everyone. This is Jeff Cohen with the Wall Street Resource. Joining me is Ilan Sobel. He's the CEO of BioHarvest Sciences. Good morning, Ilan.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Great to have you. Ilan, for those that aren't familiar with BioHarvest, can you just give us a quick overview of the company?
Sure, Jeff. We, at the core, BioHarvest Sciences is a biotech company. What we do every day is botanical synthesis. And I'll just very quickly elaborate for the audience, Jeff, on what is botanical synthesis. So as a company, we have this unique capability that we've built over the last 17 years and invested close to $100 million in our technology process, whereby we're able to take the plant once, any plant in the plant kingdom. And as you know, plants in the plant kingdom have critical phytomedicinal compounds that are so important for our overall health and wellness. And what we're able to do is we're able to take that plant and we are able to identify the cells in the plant which are able to produce those critical phytomedicinal compounds. And we just take those cells and we grow those cells initially in petri dishes. And when we grow them in the petri dishes, we undertake hundreds, sometimes thousands of experiments where we work to ensure we do two things. One is we make sure that we're controlling all the critical parameters that impact the overall performance of those cells and their ability to grow the phytomedicinal compounds like light, like temperature, like the food that we feed the cells. And we get the cells to do two things. One, we get the cells to produce the exact same phytomedicinal compounds that are contained in the plant. So we call this mirroring. We literally mirror the exact phytomedicinal compounds that the plant actually produces. We do this in a way which is non-GMO because we don't in any way change the molecular structure. And then we have this unique ability to significantly magnify the levels of specific targeted phytomedicinal compounds that the cell produces. So for example, in our red grape cell product, we increase the levels of the molecule pyxoedrous resveratrol by 100 times versus what's found initially in the actual red grape. So once we've mirrored and magnified, we then lock the cells and we create a cell bank. And then we take that cell bank and we never have to go back to the original plant. And we take that cell bank, Jeff, and we literally take those cells and we figure out a way over this period of time, the last 15 years, with an enormous amount of IP and know-how, on how to train those cells. Because plant cells are like human cells. They have memories. And we figured out how to train the cells to be able to grow in massive industrial-scale bioreactors. We're talking about 1,000 liter plus. And in a very short period of time, normally 18 to 20 days, we get those cells to produce the phytomedicinal compounds in a way which has got very high solubility, bioavailability, and efficacy. And we're left with this amazing end molecule that we are able to utilize across the pharmaceutical world, cosmeceutical world, nutraceutical world, and even in the premium food nutrition world. So ultimately, the botanical synthesis technology that we have today that we're utilizing across our products business unit, as well as a CDMO business unit that we've just started, this technology has been able to solve the major problems that pharmaceutical companies, for example, have had in accessing the phytomedicinal compounds from hundreds of thousands of plants. And we've done that because we're able to produce with consistency, we're able to produce with reliability, with economic viability. In addition, the molecules that we produce are molecules which can be patented. So as we now sit as a company today, we've monetized this botanical synthesis technology in a products business unit, where we have a significant direct-to-consumer business that we've built, largely today in the nutraceutical space, where we're expanding into cosmeceuticals and in the future into the pharmaceutical API space. And we've just announced at Bio at the end of February the launch of our new services CDMO business unit, where we're now availing our technology to be able to be used under an R&D partnership and royalty agreement with major pharmaceutical, cosmeceutical, nutraceutical companies. And in fact, we're very fortunate that we've already signed two significant agreements leveraging the power of the CDMO services business model.
Very good. So for those that aren't familiar, can you tell us what a CDMO is?
A CDMO is a contract development and manufacturing organization. So if you actually look at the world of pharmaceuticals today, many of the major therapeutic solutions in today's pharmaceutical world are actually produced by CDMOs. So the major pharmaceutical companies, they obviously have core capabilities in the R&D and in the clinical trials and the regulatory side. But on the manufacturing side, you have CDMOs that have very unique platform technology processes. For example, a number of the biologic therapeutic solutions that have come to market in the last 10 years have been actually produced by CDMOs. And these CDMOs, they partner together with the pharmaceutical companies to develop the specific molecules and to ultimately produce the end-to-end product, whilst the pharmaceutical company will manage the whole clinical trial process and the regulatory process. So that similarly, this is our partnership model with companies from the pharmaceutical industry all the way through to cosmeceuticals and nutraceuticals, whereby we have a four-step process which is all milestone-driven, and in our case, literally in 15 to 24 months, we can go from the plant all the way through to a finished molecule that can be produced with consistency, with patentability and economic viability in 15 to 24 months, and with an investment level of $1.5 to $2.5 million in development costs. And then ultimately, at the end of this process, if the customer decides to move forward to large-scale manufacturing, we will then enter into a royalty-based partnership model to be able to produce the molecules for them at, obviously, significant industrial scale.
Okay. So, Ilan, should we view this as two separate businesses, or are your own products there to prove out your thesis?
That's a great provocation, Jeff. The botanical synthesis technology that I described a little bit earlier is used by the company across two business units. We decided 2 years ago to monetize the technology across our own products business unit. We wanted to do it quickly, so we decided to take our molecules. At this time, it was a unique red grape cell molecule. It contained piceid resveratrol, catechin, coercin, and anthocyanin that all worked together, basically different parts of an orchestra working together effectively. And we decided to bring this to market as a nutraceutical. We had a number of clinical trials that we completed, all double-blind placebo, all published in peer-reviewed scientific journals. And we brought this product to market. We called this product Vinia, V-I-N-I-A, for all the listeners, I should say. You can go to vinia.com and learn a lot more about Vinia. But basically, at its core, Vinia has the unique ability to significantly increase dilation of arteries. It's like we call it the king of blood flow because of the increased arterial dilation. We're able to significantly increase blood flow in our customers. And with this increase in blood flow, we have a significant improvement in the oxygen delivery of oxygen and nutrients to the body, tissue, cells, and organs, as well as the reduction of toxins from the body. So ultimately, giving consumers more physical energy, more mental alertness, so no more brain fog. We maintain blood pressure already within normal levels. We reduce oxidative damage to the cells as part of the aging process. And so we launched this into the U.S. market, and just given the success of the product, we've been able to now build across the U.S. and also in our home market, Israel, an active customer base north of 50,000 active customers. And we have a business today that's hand-to-mouth and is growing rapidly. It's largely a subscription business. 80% of our customers are on subscription models. So it's obviously a very, very important from a cash-generating, recurring revenue business. So we were able to monetize the botanical synthesis technology, but also validate the power of the technology and the ability of the technology to really access hundreds of thousands of molecules from plants and to be able to bring those molecules to industry in a way which has unique consistency, reliability, and patentability, which were major, major barriers before for the leaders across these major verticals. And so now, just given our success and the fact that we've been able to also validate the technology across other molecules, including olive cells, where we produce the highest levels of verbascoside glycoside, which is the most potent anti-inflammatory polyphenol from the olives, at the highest levels from what we believe, from what we understand in the world, as well as validated across pomegranate and a number of other plants, we've just generated such significant experience that we've been able to really validate the power of the botanical synthesis process technology. And hence, we made the conscious decision, as we want to bring this technology to literally tens, if not hundreds of millions of consumers in the future, that as a company ourselves in the product side, we didn't have the muscle to be able to do this. And therefore, it was critical for us to open up the technology to the world and to other major companies who are looking to identify the next generation of molecules to be able to address, in the case of the pharmaceutical world, major unmet needs from an indications perspective, or in the cosmeceutical world, where cosmetics companies today are really searching for new molecules which are derived from nature, because consumers now are rejecting everything that has in any way been part of a chemical process. And similarly in the nutraceutical world, as far as overall preventative medicine is concerned. So hence, the opportunity really is significant for us to open up the CDMO services business unit to be able to really unlock the potential of our technology.
Okay. Now, you mentioned clinical trials in there. Are you able to make some claims on your label? And also, what is the regulatory pathway for both your verticals?
So currently in our products business unit, we're positioning our products in markets like the U.S. as dietary supplements. And obviously, we manufacture and we comply with all the guidelines of the FDA. From an FDA perspective, we are able to make what we call structure function claims based on our clinical trials. For example, we talk about our ability to significantly increase dilation of arteries. This is all anchored in a clinical trial that we did, which measured our ability after taking one capsule every day for 90 days, the ability to significantly increase the flow-mediated dilation of one's arteries. And also, we were able to demonstrate in our clinical trials the ability to reduce diastolic blood pressure, and therefore we're able to make specific structure function claims according to FDA guidelines. From a regulatory perspective, as we move across into the pharmaceutical world, our particular molecules, which we actually call Biologics Plus, and we call them Biologics Plus because the molecules that we can produce from the plants, we can produce both simple molecules, we can produce complex molecules, as well as composites of molecules. And we're able to produce these molecules faster. We're able to produce them at a much lower cost from an overall molecule development perspective. And in many cases, our molecules are safer because they're being derived directly from the plant. And as you know, Jeff, we've been living together with the plant world as part of one ecosystem for thousands, if not, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of years, depending on where you look, from what angle you're looking at this from. So in this context, our molecules can be used as critical APIs in a pharmaceutical therapeutic solution, and we would go down the path with our partners of the botanical drug track or potentially the biologics track from an FDA regulatory process. But at its core, these molecules are fit for purpose to go down either of these tracks from a regulatory perspective. And we've seen already with our existing red grape cell molecules where we have, as I said earlier, the highest levels of Pisces resveratrol. And for many of your audience, just to understand, Pisces resveratrol is the gold standard of resveratrol. It's like the Rolls Royce of resveratrol, because it has significantly more solubility. It's 25 times more soluble than regular trans resveratrol, and is much more bioavailable. We last in the body for literally 12 hours with a peak after 1 hour and a peak after 5 hours. This is Pisces resveratrol, where regular resveratrol, trans resveratrol, is in and out the body in 1 to 2 hours. And with this unique molecular structure, and today more than 50,000 active users, we've seen an amazing so far safety record, which is congruent with the fact that we as human beings, when it relates to the plant world, there is a much higher degree of safety because of the fact that we've been living as a critical part of this ecosystem. So, from a regulatory perspective, we're well served across each of these tracks. And that allows us and gives us significant optionality to work with different partners across these verticals.
Now, you're obviously addressing very large markets, and there's a lot of companies going after this space as well. In terms of your competitive edge, or what makes you unique in this, or are others going at it with the same approach?
Look, today we are the only company that is deploying botanical synthesis at an industrial scale. And when you look at our core capabilities, as I mentioned before, we have this unique capability not just to mirror the phytomedicinal compounds that are found in the plant, but we also magnify the levels of the key targeted compounds. So this is a very, very unique differentiator. Like I said, in the case of Pisces resveratrol, we increase the levels more than 100 times versus what's found in the red grape itself, which makes us the only company in the world that can produce Pisces resveratrol at an industrial and commercial scale from the red grape. When you go onto Amazon today, you'll see, as an example, in the resveratrol area, where you have more than 200 products, we're the only company that's utilizing only Pisces resveratrol, which is the gold standard. So the ability to not just mirror but magnify is a major differentiator for us. In addition, there are no other companies that are able to grow plant cells with a unique reliability and consistency that we can at such an industrial scale. And that's because we've been doing this for 15 years. We understand exactly how to train the cells to be able to survive in these massive industrial scale bioreactors in liquid media, making sure they're able to deal with the sheer forces of the air in the systems, and to be able to elicit those critical phytomedicinal molecules that are so important for the human body. So this today really makes us a leader in the area of botanical, what we articulate as botanical synthesis, because we're driving this movement of change. And that's why we've branded this movement of change botanical synthesis as we best articulate our technology versus chemical synthesis and biosynthesis, where you're utilizing yeast and mold, whereby in our case, we're utilizing the plant itself. It's non-GMO, and literally we literally only use the plant once, once we finalize our cell banks and we lock our cell banks, there's no need to go back to the plant. It's important for us because we believe as a company that the time is so ripe for the world, given major sustainability challenges that we're dealing with, given the fact that the pharmaceutical world, cosmetics world, are looking for that next generation of molecule to be able to address so many challenges that we're dealing with from an overall health and wellness perspective, that finally the world is going back to where they started, which is, as you know, Jeff, pharmaceutical companies, they all started with the plant. Back in the early days, the pharmaceutical companies were creating their molecules directly from the plants, but it got too challenging for them because they were dealing with massive consistency challenges, because as you know, plants operate in an ecosystem and different rainfall patterns, different weather patterns affected the molecules. And then importantly, from a commercial perspective, the pharmaceutical companies had to patent their molecules, and you can't just patent nature. So we as a company, we've really solved all of those problems. And we give a bridge to pharmaceutical companies to now go back to the plant to be able to access literally hundreds of thousands of molecules from the plant kingdom in a reliable, consistent, economically viable way, which gives them patentability over the respective compositions. Because remember, I talked about the fact that we mirror and magnify. And because we mirror and magnify, we create a unique, somewhat improved molecule versus what the plant in nature produces, and hence we're able to drive patentability on the compositions together with the different indications, which allow you to drive the next level of patents, which go down to actual usage patents. So this really, you know, allows us to bring a generation, potentially a generational change in how major verticals that have such a significant impact on our lives are able to create value for millions of consumers out there looking for better therapeutic solutions.
Now, are you doing this from your own facility, or is this something you'll outsource, or what type of ability to scale, what type of capacity do you have?
That's a great question. Look, we've spent the last 4 years significantly scaling our technology. So we have a facility here in Israel where we have a facility. We invested just over $5 million in CapEx, one-time CapEx. That facility itself can produce north of 20 tons of our red grape cell products per year. And that facility at full capacity can generate north of $60 million in revenue based on our direct to, per year based on our direct-to-consumer model. That facility will be at full capacity in the next 12 months, and we're busy now working on the next facility as well as facilities abroad, specifically in North America, where we've signed already customers as part of our services business unit, and obviously this will be important to be able to be closer to our customers. And we believe a large proportion of our, you know, first 10, 15 customers that we put into our services business are going to require us to be manufacturing in North America. And our target is to have a facility up and running in North America by the middle of 2026. So really within the next, you know, 24 to 27 months, based on the timeline of development that we have for our existing customers. As I mentioned, we already have signed two existing contracts. And these customers, as they move through our step-by-step process from a development perspective, as we move into long-term partnership manufacturing contracts, which will be royalty-driven, the intention is to have these produced in premises in North America. And we've really developed over the last few years a blueprint of the technology, so it's very easy for us to scale the technology process as we look to basically cut and paste and build new facilities, whether it's in North America, South America and Japan, my other key markets like Japan.
Okay. Now, you mentioned what looks like a couple of different revenue models. Can you just touch on your revenue models and where revenue is today in terms of models and what it should look like in the future? Is it something that should go out linear, or is one going to dwarf the other?
I'll share with you as much as I can, obviously, given the nature of us being a public company. But from a revenue model perspective, as I said, the botanical synthesis technology process drives two business units, a direct-to-consumer, direct-to-doctor products business unit, and then the second business being the CDMO services business unit. In the direct-to-consumer, direct-to-doctor products business unit, we've really rapidly grown this business unit every year, doubling revenue. We've shared with the markets our expectation to deliver largely from one SKU in 2023, looking at last year's performance, literally north of $12 million in revenue from one SKU. And that business itself is an 80% subscription recurring revenue business. And we expect to grow that business in 2024 by at least double, two times the revenue. That business, in third quarter, we announced that that business was operating at a 45% gross profit margin. And obviously, as we scale that business, the gross profit margins will literally increase significantly. And we have a very focused path to moving our gross profit margins in the high 60s mark over the next 9 months. Ultimately, having that business bring the company to an EBITDA profitability situation in the second half of the year. So that's why I talk about the fact that our products business unit, really we've monetized the technology and also validated the power of the technology to be so successful with consumers. And the reason why we built such a big direct-to-consumer business with best-in-class economics as it relates to lifetime value, cost of acquisition, all the critical metrics that you look at in an e-commerce-driven, direct-to-consumer, recurring revenue model, is really just anchored in the efficacy of the product. And when you look at our Vinia product, we have today north of 4,300 reviews, all verified reviews, with a rating of 4.8 out of 5. And, you know, we really see that the product itself, it drives a fundamental positive change in people's lives, giving them more physical energy, more mental alertness, increasing blood flow, which is such an important part of the body's operating mechanism, and becomes such an essential part of their daily regime. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why, as we move forward in the next 9 months, we're taking this molecule and we're starting to leverage this molecule in new delivery systems. So, for example, we recently just launched a functional coffee, Vinia coffee, in Keurig pods. We're going to be rolling out a tea as part of a hot beverage strategy. And we also have a hydration, a major hydration play going after what is a $16 billion market in the U.S. with real science, with real efficacy, delivering an optimal hydration solution with this specific red grape cell molecule and a unique blend of electrolytes. So this model, as I said, highly profitable, scalable. The subscription model, you know, clearly allows for fast cash generation. And then when I look at the services model, obviously the services model itself has good profitability from the beginning as it relates to making sure that we're ultimately covering our costs and more as it relates to the development work. But where the margins really come in, obviously, is when we move to the royalty-based manufacturing models, which obviously is a major focus for us as we bring more and more customers into the development stage and start to be producing at scale. This business has the ability to get into the 70% plus margins, which is typically the kind of margins that CDMO models work off across the industry. So you really start to see, as an investor, unique optionality as you start to look at a company that has breakthrough technology, platform technology as it relates to our botanical synthesis process technology being utilized across the products business, cash generating subscription business that's really bringing the broader company to an EBITDA profitability position. That's the target by the second half of this year. And then the services business having, really significant profitability opportunities in major verticals as we look to move quickly through the development process and into the long-term royalty-based manufacturing contracts.
So as we monitor the company over the next 12 months, what are some of the big events or catalysts that we should watch for?
So let's break it up again, looking at our services business, and then we'll talk about the CDMO services business. In the products business, we're obviously focused on driving stellar growth across our business. That stellar growth is going to be, being driven by also expanding the SKUs that we're going to be launching in the marketplace. We delivered last year the north of $12 million in revenue of really one SKU, which is our core capsule SKU. As we now branch out into major categories like hot beverages, hot coffee, hot tea, protein bars, all the way through to hydration, we're going to start to see some really breakthrough, disruptive product launches with real science, with real efficacy behind them. We clinical trial all of our products before they go into the market. We also, from an overall sensory perspective, we go through rigorous taste testing, and that's why the early signs of our coffee have been very, very promising, because we have a great tasting coffee, and then we have all the benefits on the efficacy side, given the fact that we have the equivalent polyphenol benefits of one Vinia capsule inside each coffee. So very, very, very diligent way of bringing this to marketplace. So you're going to see stellar growth as well as enhancement of margins in that business. And then on the CDMO services business, we're really focused in 2024 on what we call building our class of 24 with 10 major plants that we're bringing into our CDMO services business through new contracts. As I said, we've signed two contracts already. Our intention is to sign up to 10 contracts this year. So the audience should be looking for us quickly moving customers through our pipeline, our sales pipeline, and announcing additional contracts in the pharmaceuticals vertical, the cosmeceutical vertical, nutraceutical vertical, as well as premium nutritional vertical. And this really is going to be a stellar year for us as we look at driving top-line revenue growth as well as margin growth and moving this biotech company literally after 17 years since inception and investment of just under $100 million to this break-even position from an EBITDA perspective. And then obviously we're very focused as a company to move the company to a larger exchange. And that's something that we're working on very diligently right now in order to bring more liquidity to investors who are keen on investing in us, as well as to bring in actual institutional investors to the table and to get more of the focus from an analyst coverage perspective. So stellar growth on the top line, really getting the company to profitability on the EBITDA level, moving the scalability of the technology to the next level, more contracts on the services business, and then giving our investor partners more liquidity, bringing new investors to the company via the movement to a larger exchange.
Very good.
A big year ahead of us.
Well, yeah, a lot going on. And thank you so much for sharing the BioHarvest story.
Thank you for the opportunity. Very much appreciate it.